Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Well, the Lord is good, isn't he? I'm so glad you're here tonight. You know, we realize that a lot of people couldn't come tonight and the crowd is a little bit slim, but my daddy used to say, son, some nights and some days your crowds will be slim, but don't slim your message. Just keep on preaching. I want to commend this group of young people. Isn't that a good looking group of young people? You know, that's about the average Wednesday night crowd in most churches across America. I've come to tell you, I've been around and I know what I'm talking about. Brother Jed, you're to be commended, you and your dear wife and the other workers in the youth department, for teaching and training and tutoring these young people to walk in the ways of the Lord. Not only that, you know, Jesus preached to 12 most of his ministry, so I don't feel bad about preaching to this group tonight. This is a good group. And excusing a few old ugly men, it's a good looking group. Some of you have asked about our travels. Let me just take a moment before I preach to tell you something about it. We've been in several states and communities and counties and countries. We were up in Canada some weeks ago. The young man went to Canada. Before, a year before he went, he engaged us to come and for me to preach. And I thought, preach in Canada? And the man is not even there yet? Let me tell you something about Canada in case you may not know. It's probably one of the hardest places on the continent to start a church. My brother pastored there for a number of years, and he would tell me preachers would come, and I learned this also while I was there from some preachers, real live preachers, who said to me, it was 10 years before I got a building, or it was 16 years before I got a building. This young man went up there and bought a building, over 100-year-old Methodist church. They put a baptistry in it and took the font out and cleaned it up and painted it up and made it all over. Seats about 125 or 30 people. They paid $100,000 for it. His supporting churches raised $20,000 for the down payment. And then the bank was kind enough to finance. Thank you, sir. I knew it was. I just wanted to see if you did. To finance the $80,000. So there's you. The Sunday we were there. Excuse me? Yeah, I'm getting to that, Ms. Barber. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I got a lot of help tonight. So he's only been there 2 months. They had 58 on Sunday morning. The average church in Canada wouldn't have that much. They've been there 25 or 30 or 40 years. Let me tell you, I know what I'm talking about. And he had that many Monday and Tuesday, almost right up to that many. So we had a wonderful time in Canada. And we're going back again next October or September. My wife will tell me in a minute. which one it is. She's my agenda. She keeps up with the agenda. November. Well, I knew it was close in the fall. I'm getting a lot of help tonight. Well, another great experience we had was in the state of Florida. I preached it's been 6 weeks or more. And I preached to a very large congregation of over 1,000. They have 40 acres. They have a building that's worth $5 or $6 million. It's just 2 or 3 years old. And the pastor resigned and went into another ministry. And I didn't think anything about it, but in the Metroplex Fellowship meeting that we had, it was in December, sometime this month. I don't know the date, but somebody will help me with that. But it was at how much? 13th. Okay, I got a lot of help. 13th of December, and David Gibbs the third, and Mark Campbell was the pastor. He resigned and went with David Gibbs the third. They started a new organization. So Brother Gibbs walked up to me and said, I got something I need to tell you. Okay, let's have it. He said, you know, just a week or so ago, the interim pastor took a survey to have the people write down the person they'd like to become their pastor. Guess who got number one? So we came back and packed our bag. No, we're not going anywhere. And then the pastor, well, I thought he was kidding, because these Gibbs fellas kid a lot, you know. So then the former pastor came up and said, I got some news for you. And he told me the same story. So out of the mouth of two witnesses, every truth will be established. One more thing. A lot of you have been asking me, what's different about you? I believe you got some new glasses. Yes, I do. I didn't want to get them. I've been wearing these other glasses all the time, like Brother Rigsby's got on, and many of you. My wife said, well, why don't you just try? Just insisted that I try this type of glass rim. So I gave in, got the old examination, sat there at the table. The man came up and put the glasses on me, and I looked straight ahead. And a nice-looking lady who was a customer waiting on this particular employee to help her said, handsome. I said, give me another pair. Well, I think that's enough runway. Open your Bible with me now to the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. Joshua, the third chapter, you're finding your place. I need to remind you again, as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and is settled right here in the Bible that I'm going to read from this blessed and timeless book, from the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. I begin reading at verse 1. I read down through verse number 4. After we pray. Now, Father, I'm grateful for the opportunity again to stand in this place to proclaim the riches, the unsearchable riches, the marvelous riches of thy grace. Thank you for the Bible. I pray that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Pray that you would bless the word to encourage, to strengthen, to challenge, to change us tonight. For we stand in need of thy help as we come to the close of a very wonderful year, when your blessings have been evident upon our church and upon our people. We're glad that we can, in a few days, in keeping with your plan, cross over the threshold into a new year. Now bless the reading of the word and the preaching to your honor, to your glory. In Christ's name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Joshua chapter number 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we understand that my text contains a record of the instructions that Joshua gave to the people of Israel just before they crossed the Jordan River. They had come out of the wilderness. They are now going to possess the land that God promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is a challenge for them because, as Joshua said, you have not passed this way before. A new chapter was opening to the children of Israel. As I stand before you tonight, could I say that a new chapter is opening for us? I'm going to use the last 8 words of this text for the crossing of the threshold from the year 2012 to the year 2013. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Ladies and gentlemen, the path ahead is untrodden. The path ahead is paved with opportunities, responsibilities, obligations, assignments, and challenges. One of the most frequent greetings that you'll hear in the next few days before New Year's Day will be this: Happy New Year. The thing that you want to know is this: how can I have a happy and prosperous New Year? Well, I have a scriptural formula for you that is guaranteed to bring you happiness and peace of mind in the year 2013. Stay tuned, and I'll tell you what it's all about. I've entitled the message, Guidelines for a Happy and Prosperous New Year. Guideline number 1, listen to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 85 and verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Can I admonish you, when God dials up your number next year, that you don't send him back a busy signal? Please don't put God on hold. Don't you just enjoy being put on hold when you call a company or a store or something? You go through 25 or 30 menu items. By the time you get through the menu, you forgot why you called. Please don't turn on your answering machine and say, Dear Lord, I can't come to the phone right now, but I'll call you back in about 3 weeks. Don't do that. Be like Samuel was when Eli the priest said to him, Now, son, when the Lord calls you again, he'd done it three times. When the Lord calls you again, you just say to him, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We need to hear what God has to say. One day the prophet Samuel, now he's a grown man in the office of prophet and priest, and the man Saul were walking down the road together, and Samuel said to Saul, this is 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 27, stand thou still a while that I may show thee the word of God. I think we need to take another look at the word of God. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all flower fields of the soul, and weary seekers of the best. We come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Within this ample volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happy is they of human race to whom their God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born than read to doubt or read to scorn. Thank God for the Bible. Tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. So I say, bring back the Bible, O ye sons of men. Bring back the Bible and begin again. Bring back the Bible. Shout it far and wide. Bring back the Bible and wait for the tide. Bring back the Bible. Let it be heard. Bring back the Bible, God's holy word. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not here to defend the Bible. It doesn't need any defense. It just defends itself. It's like the lion that's caged up. When you turn that lion loose, you don't have to defend him. He's gone. He's gone to do what he's supposed to do. And you know, when you turn the Bible loose, it goes and does what it's supposed to do. That's what God said. It would not return unto him void. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Oh, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The scripture cannot be broken. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you think we've listened long enough to the philosophers and the psychologists and the psychiatrists and the politicians and the pundits and the economists and the environmentalists and the ecologists? We've listened long enough to man's wisdom. It's time we learn to listen to the Word of God. After all, it's the constitution of our Christianity. It is the charter of our faith. I remember looking back. The church will soon be 59 years old. We started out, my brother, and I was his associate at that time. We started out building on the Word of God, the King James Version. And that's been the textbook for this church for now almost 59 years. I remember in 1991, I led the church to give $100,000 to buy 100,000 Bibles to take to Russia. My wife and I and several members of the church flew to Moscow. We stood on Red Square and gave Bibles to the soldiers that guarded Lenin's tomb. We went into stores and factories and schools and colleges and big assembly halls to hand out, to distribute the Word of God. I shall never forget the second morning, I believe it was, we were there. We were all in the lobby waiting for the bus to take us to the place we were going. And there was a man that was with us, not from our church. He joined us in New York, but he had a friend in Moscow, not in Moscow, but somewhere in Russia, with whom he served in World War II, side by side, the Russian and American soldier. We stood there in the lobby, and this man, big, burly Russian man with his fur cap, earmuffs, big fur coat, walked in the lobby, recognized his friend, and his friend handed him a Bible. First thing, he clutched it to his chest like this and said, "I've wanted a Bible all the days of my life." By the way, he didn't come from across the street. He traveled 500 miles to see this man and to get the Bible. 500 miles by train, by bus, and walked a long way. The amazing thing about it, the schools let us in, they closed the classes, they let us preach to the children, the colleges did the same thing, the businesses did the same thing. But the capstone of it all was on Sunday morning, down by the river. This was an underground church. The pastor had been imprisoned twice for preaching the gospel. They were down by the river, several hundred people. It was cold, it was October, it was raining. I'll never forget the choir. It was made up of dear old Russian ladies. And they had the rain hats on and holding umbrellas, but they sang like an angel choir. What a blessing that was. And for 3 hours, these people stood in the rain, in shivering weather, to hear the gospel from three preachers. I was the third one. When I was through preaching, of course, I turned it over to the pastor, Brother Zinchenko. He stood there for a moment, reached in his pocket. We didn't know what he was going to do. He pulled out an oilcloth about a 4x4 square, put it down on that muddy, wet ground. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me when I say it. 52 adults, one by one, came and knelt on that oilcloth with a microphone at their face and publicly confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Well, that's the power of the Word of God. So I'm telling you that guideline number one is listen to the Word of God. Guideline number two, claim the promises of God. You and I know that a bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. That song would not have amounted to much while ago that Joshua sang until he sang it. And a promise is not a promise until you claim it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, and I'm trying to go slow enough that you can, if you want to write these down, that you can do that. 2 Peter 1, 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us," now watch this, "exceeding great and precious promises." And you know what? Not one single promise has ever failed. In fact, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56 tells us, "There hath not failed one word of all the good promises that God has made." I share three of those promises. Number one, the promise of constant companionship. Hebrews 13:5. Here's where Paul quotes Jesus. You know, Paul loved to quote Jesus too. And in Hebrews 13:5, he said, "For he," that is Jesus, "hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Some of the last known words of the notorious atheist, Madeline Mary O'Hare, were these words: "Somebody, somewhere, please love me." How sad, ladies and gentlemen, to live and die with no one to love you. You know, I'm glad that we have someone that loves us. His name is Jesus, the Savior, the Sovereign, the Sufficient One, the Holy One, the High and Exalted One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Captain of our salvation. Jesus Christ loves us. We used to sing that little chorus, you know, in Sunday school. "Jesus loves me, this I know, For the Bible tells me so. You know, a few years ago, one of the toughest sheriffs that ever served in Dallas County, at his funeral, at his request, they sang, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." I'm glad Jesus loves us. And you know what? Revelation 5:12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb." He's the Lamb, folks. The Lamb of God. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." We know He loves us. And He proved it at the top of the hill. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but dearest of all, that Jesus loves me. I like that little chorus that goes, "Somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know He's mine." The Song of Solomon 6 and verse 3, where the wise man wrote, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." The promise of constant companionship. Number two is the promise of answered prayer. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. "Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Jesus said, oh, here I go, quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." My friends, you can pray and believe. You can pray, believe, and receive, or you can pray, doubt, and do without. It's up to you. James 4:23 says, "You have not because you ask not. Ask, and it shall be given you." Jesus said, here I go, quoting him from Matthew 7 and verse 7, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son ask him bread, will give him a serpent? Or if will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" I'm going to quote Jesus again. He said in John 14:14, "If ye shall ask," now watch this, "anything in my name, I will do it." Somebody says, "But oh, I just hesitate to ask God for anything big." Well, wait. "Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much." You know, our problem is when difficulties come, tragedies come, heartaches come, perilous times come, we push the panic button when we ought to push the prayer button. The powerhouse is always there, so push the button labeled prayer. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, may have been me, "When your back is against the wall, try your knees against the floor." Promise number three, genuine peace. Did you know that in the 6,000 years of human history, there have only been 295 years of peace? There have been 14,351 wars, known wars, registered wars. By the way, there are 40 wars going on in this world while I speak. There have been 8,000 peace treaties drawn up, most of which were broken. But can I tell you about a peace treaty that will never be broken? It was signed at Calvary, and it was signed in blood, and it shall never be broken. Thank God we're safe and we're secure. Jesus, yeah, I'm going quoting Jesus again. He said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Paul wrote in Philippians 4:6-7, "Be careful," that is, be anxious, "be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isaiah wrote in his 26th chapter at verse 3, thou wilt keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Guideline number 3, rejoice in the blessings of God. Listen to the word of God, claim the promises of God, rejoice in the blessings of God. Paul used the words joy and rejoicing no less than 19 times in the book of Philippians. And you must be reminded that Paul was in prison, chained to 2 Roman soldiers when he wrote this. He was on death row when he wrote it. One of my favorite verses in Philippians is chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. 3 things to rejoice about. Number 1, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You remember when Jesus sent out the 70 disciples 2 by 2? He told them where to go, what to say, what to do. They came back. Boy, they were so happy. Man, they were just overjoyed. They said, Jesus, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, you won't believe what's happened to us. Even the demons are subject to us. Jesus said, oh, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. That's nothing. Don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Secondly, rejoice because you're free from all condemnation. Romans 8 at verse 1, Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Jesus put it this way. Here I go, quoting Jesus one last time in this message. John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The third thing you're to rejoice about, because there's no separation. You know, the book of Romans 8 begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation. Romans 8, beginning at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things it is written, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Once in Christ forever. Nothing from his love my soul can sever. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Let's stand, please, for our prayer.